on today's Keys for Kids Connect podcast.
He received one device a few months ago, and he gave his life to Christ, and then he brought this device to his tribe.
Our counselors do not come equipped to share the gospel, both in a cabin setting or in a one-on-one setting, so we need to equip them.
When you try to reach the kids, you reach the hearts of the parents. If you love their kids, you love them.
All this and more on the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. Welcome to the Keys for Kids Connect podcast, a podcast that's designed to keep donors and friends of Keys for Kids Ministries informed about how God is using us to ignite a passion for Christ in kids, teens, and families worldwide. We talk to partners, donors who use our resources, and ministry leaders who can help us pray for worldwide evangelism and discipleship. Now today, we'll talk about Albania. There's a need for Keys for Kids storytellers to help reach Muslims in that country. We'll also talk about a new alliance that's going to be launched soon, and Keys for Kids Ministries is going to be a part of that. I'll also be sharing some comments from friends of Keys for Kids Ministries and how God is using this ministry to strengthen their family's love for Christ. But first, a few weeks ago, right after the war started in Iran, I got a chance to talk to our partner working in Pakistan and Afghanistan. This partnership has been so effective to not only seeing kids, teens, and families coming to faith in Christ, but starting churches. One of our goals is to reach out to the people of Iran, and we were hoping to do that in 2026. Will it happen? Well, we're not sure. Here's the interview with Brother Nehemiah with our partner FMI on the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. Brother Nehemiah, of course, everybody's watching the Middle East right now, specifically in Iran, but also Pakistan. We've seen some violence there as it relates to the U.S. consulate, and we've heard other things that are going on within that nation, but then also border conflict between Pakistan and Afghanistan. I don't even know where you want to start, but fill me in.
Hey, first of all, thank you, brother. Thank you for this opportunity. And first of all, I want to highlight here, I'm not sure if our listeners know this or not, but there are about 91 million Shias living in Iran. I mean, the largest Shia community in the world. And Pakistan is the second largest Shia community after Iran, which is about 40 million. So the sentiments in Pakistan are violent right now. There's sadness, there's fear, and there's agony, pain, and there's anger in the society because it's not really a political anymore. It's more a religious war now. Like Sunnis, they go to Saudi Arabia to offer their prayers or to visit their sacred places or holy places like Makkah or Medina. Similarly, Shias, they have their holy and sacred places in Iran. And that would be very, very different in coming days when we see some bombing over these holy places or shrines in Iran. So that this is the reason if we see in Pakistan, Shias, they just storm U.S. consulate. And not only U.S. consulate across Pakistan, in different cities of Pakistan like Lahore, Karachi, Peshawar, they just destroyed United Nations headquarters in one of the provinces in Pakistan. So right now, when we are talking, there are over 40 people have been died because of all these clashes and the situation in countries like Pakistan.
No, we'd heard that. Now, in terms of the cross border conflict between Pakistan and Afghanistan, what has set that off?
Yeah, this is a very strange situation because Pakistan share four borders with four different nations, and three borders are very hot right now: India, Afghanistan, Iran. So Pakistan is not dealing with one country, but is dealing with many other countries as well. So there is a situation between Pakistan and Afghanistan, and we need to understand that there is no political or democratic force in Afghanistan. There's a bunch of people who are ruling Afghanistan, and they don't have an army. They don't have a system or a military, they have Talibans, and they are the experts of guerrilla war. And when Pakistan was attacking Afghanistan, they responded to Pakistan that they are going to send suicide bombers inside Pakistan. Mm-hmm. And we have seen that violence in Pakistan in last year, in only in 1 year, there are 600 attacks in Pakistan by Talibans. So just only in Pakistan, 600 attacks. So this is a very, very unconventional war situation between Pakistan and Afghanistan.
Well, let's talk about the work that you folks are doing at FMI. Where are you? Is it compromising the work that you're doing with all this unrest that's taking place, whether it be Iran or Afghanistan or even India?
Sure. So, brother, FMI has a great edge during this situation because most of the people who are with FMI, who are part of FMI's team, they have lived that life. So they are seeing war from their childhood. I mean, this is where they grew. So when I was talking to them the other day, I mean, their life was going on. Although I understand that the border between Pakistan and Afghanistan is closed. Border between Pakistan and Afghanistan is closed. But wherever they are shining for the love of Christ. I mean, they are trying to distribute whatever they can do. They are trying to do wherever they are. So this is one of the edges we have with FMI, that our partners are from the ground and they are from Muslim background. They were Muslim before, become Christian, and they have lived that life. So it's pretty much everyday life for an Afghan person who is living in Pakistan, in Afghanistan, because there is a war kind of situation from the last 60 years. So they don't mind having another war.
I see. So the work that you and I are doing together, FMI and Keys for Kids Ministries, I understand the distribution is on hold right now. Is that correct?
Yeah, at hold. Yeah, it's at hold right now. We are not sending any more devices from Pakistan to Afghanistan, but we have about 500 units sitting in Afghanistan. So our partners in Afghanistan, they are trying to distribute whatever they can do.
Okay. And in terms of people responding to the gospel during time of conflict, is that common? Are people looking for a spiritual truth? Are they looking for comfort during this time of uncertainty? Or is uncertainty just an everyday part of life?
But especially in these situations like Afghanistan or Pakistan, where war situation, people respond more aggressively or more religiously towards distribution and towards the word of God, because there is only one hope that Jesus gives, which no one can give. Especially when I was in Afghanistan a few months ago and I shared a few photos with you, man, this is a different world. This is a different people. The reason I'm telling you, when I was there, I was being informed by the tribal chiefs that they hate Talibans. They hate Islam. They want a hope. And if you talk to any family, their people have been killed. I mean, each family has different killings. And they thought this is because of Talibans and Islam, because Talibans are fighting in the name of Islam. And common men in Afghanistan, they think that this is the reason of somebody has been died in their family because of Islam and Taliban. So it's I would not say it's very easy, but hey, it's a low-hanging fruit where you can see that these people, their eyes are shining for hoping and longing and for hope and love for their communities. And the window is very, very large, countries like Afghanistan and Iran or Pakistan.
You've been listening to my interview with Brother Nehemiah on the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. We'll finish the interview in just a second. Amazing information to come. Before I do that, though, I'd like to invite you to join the Keys for Kids Ministries on YouTube. We've avoided YouTube for many years because of the advertising. You can probably imagine it can come along with just being there. And we don't want to be responsible for leading somebody astray. However, we also know there are a lot of people, Christians included, and non-Christians, of course, who are there. And we need to reach them, too. So search for Keys for Kids Ministries TV on YouTube. Subscribe and share our content. Now, the channel is limited right now, but it's growing. Find weekly Parent Minute tips, ministry updates, new outreach possibilities. There's a demo of a new program for kids that's there you can kind of check out. We'll have a lot more. That's Keys for Kids Ministries TV on YouTube. Subscribe and share.
Well, we're excited about the partnership that we've had together over these last few years. It's been a number of years. Just recently, though, we were able to really dive in within the last year of providing Keys for Kids storytellers going into Afghanistan. And I assume we've been able to replenish some of the ones in Pakistan, but we still want to do more. What has been accomplished in that this last year, especially?
In 2025, I'm excited, overjoyed to tell you that we are able to distribute over 4,000 units in Afghanistan. And people were jumping our partners to get more. When I was there, there was a one kid, I tell you, he was putting his hand inside my pocket to find if there is left in my pocket. I was like, hey, there is nothing in my pocket anymore. So response is great. This is a great tool. So not only for the children, this is for the entire families. Mm-hmm. And I have seen with my own eyes that each device is listening corporately by the whole tribe. I mean, there are seven families in one tribe or 12 families in one tribe. They're listening together after the supper. So it's a beautiful way to see how people are listening. This is one of the reasons why listening is so important in such cultures like Afghanistan or Iran or Pakistan, because literacy is minimal. If you ask anybody to read, they cannot read. So what is the way they know the Word of God? So listening is one of the best tools for such communities and societies.
And for them, they remember what they hear. Is that correct?
Yeah.
It's not like a passive listening. They're really engaged in it. Is that correct?
Yeah, I walked in a village and a small girl, maybe she was 11 years old, she approached to me with her father probably, and she said she wants to tell me something. Can you imagine? She has memorized about 200 stories.
Oh, wow. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, because she has nothing to do for the whole day. She doesn't go to school. She has nothing. She has no games. She has no PS2 or 3 or 5. She just... you know, that is her treasure. And she is listening one story and then she's memorizing.
Wow. And
they are so good.
Stories have scripture in them.
Yeah. Yeah. And I ask her how you are so good, how you have that memory to remember by heart all these 200 stories. And she told me that she memorized Quran at the age of 11, the whole Quran. And she is so good memorizing the whole thing, and she told me that once she memorized this new phenomena or new word of God for her, she said she has deleted whatever she has memorized before the Quran.
Wow.
Yeah. So this is such soothing to my soul when I hear such stories.
Tell me about the response that it's had. Obviously, you know, delivering thousands of storytellers is great, but what kind of a spiritual impact has it had? Have we seen lives changed for Christ? Have we seen churches planted? And if so, how many on each side? Do we know?
I just want to tell you one story about a tribal chief. He received one device a few months ago, and he gave his life to Christ, and then he brought this device to his tribe. And when I visited this tribe, the whole tribe of 13 families are being transformed, and we all were sitting together. When I visited that tribe, he brought all the children from other villages as well, and he asked me to give them the devices. So I am the witness. I gave devices to all the children of this tribe by myself, and I see a great change in the society. Again, I'm telling you, brother, they don't have hope. They don't have any beacon of light. They can see that their life would be changed. So when they see that there is one person who cares for them, that is Jesus Christ, they come very quickly to the Lord. So this is such a great opportunity and has a huge and large window.
So 2005, you said 4,000, correct?
Oh, yeah, 4,000. And we have about 500 sitting in Afghanistan right now when I'm talking to you.
So I'm assuming that the need is so much greater that you could use so many more.
Sure. Need is great, brother. Dari is co-official language of Afghanistan, and there are about over 10 million people who speak this language in Pakistan and Afghanistan. So people are just begging to have more units in different languages. So I would request if we can restock Urdu, Pashto, and Dari for this year. That would be wonderful.
Well, we're excited about that. Approximately how many could you use?
Sky is limit, brother.
I was afraid you'd say that. But God has blessed us in the most amazing way through a foundation and other donors that just are really getting on board and helping with this project and others. What is the prayer? Maybe give me two prayer requests, brother, if we could.
Especially, brother, I would request for our team members who go to such difficult and hostile conditions where Taliban or ISIS, when they follow them and try to hunt them down, please pray for their safety, security, and discernment. They can find the ways to distribute. And I would please pray, request to please pray for the people of Afghanistan, especially for Afghanistan and Iran, the hunger for Word of God really works in their life, and they would know more about Jesus Christ. This is we just pray for the revelation, brother.
Perfect. We'll do that. One last question, and it just escaped me. But last time we chatted, you mentioned that about 15 churches had been planted in Afghanistan. I'm not sure how many in Pakistan have been planted. Do you have any idea on both?
So last year we planted about 9 churches, 2024, about 9 churches in Pakistan and 15 churches in Afghanistan, but that was Pashto. Oh. So Dari, I'm excited to tell you, there are about 8 underground churches have been planted in Afghanistan just because of Dari language, which we did last year. So when I'm talking to you, that is Dari, 9 churches, 8 churches, I'm sorry, and about more than, this is the number we know, that these are the people who place their faith in Christ. There are about 230 people who place their faith in Christ in 2025 by Dari units. There would be many, we don't know, because it's very hard to track people, how many are placing their faith, because sometimes we go to places like mosques in Afghanistan, and I have shared about the mosque in Afghanistan that people are there distributing the devices. So it's sometimes hard to track, but yes, about 230 people have placed their faith.
And that's Dari. Now, Pashto, there's many more, correct?
Oh, yeah, that is many more. That's the number I don't have with me at the moment. But Dari, yes. We have 8 churches and 230 people placed.
Okay, so the last time you chatted, when you said 15, that was for Pashto.
For Pashto, yes.
Yes, yeah. Okay. Got it. That's Brother Nehemiah with FMI, one of the Keys for Kids Ministries partners on the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. I'm Greg Yoder. Well, one of the most amazing things I get to do at Keys for Kids Ministries is receive testimonies of God using Keys for Kids in the lives of families around the world. Now, many times families agree to do interviews about God using Keys for Kids Ministries in their lives, but other times it's an email, a text message, maybe a voicemail, or a social media post. Well, I want to take a few minutes to read just a few of those for you. Here's one from Jo. She says, I'm listening with my children from the UK, the United Kingdom. We have only found Keys for Kids a few days ago after years of looking for Christian resources and content that my children would be excited to engage with. You guys are it, she says. They have been really enjoying the devotions and say it's not boring and actually makes sense and has kids like them doing stuff that they can actually do. They are so excited to tell me how they have applied the lessons to their day. I love that testimony. Here's one. My son and I recently started listening to Keys for Kids at bedtime. Now, every evening when he gets into bed, he asks, can we listen to Keys for Kids? I like that the messages are thoughtfully organized with appropriate scripture to support them, and I think that they are perfect lengths. Also, the audio segments are well produced. Thank you for all that goes into making them available. Here's a short one, though. She says, this will go to my great niece.
I always like to read Keys for Kids to my children and to my niece, my great niece's mom, hoping this will impact their family to want to live for Jesus. Here's a note from some missionaries. We are with Wycliffe Bible Translators and believe in the power of God's Word. We also use Keys for Kids with our children and believe it's impactful. This offering is for the storytellers in Nepal. We recently had a fundraiser for Nepali storytellers and raised $20,000 for that project. We're very thankful for their participation as well as others. We have four kids and they love Keys for Kids, writes another donor. We hear the message daily on our local radio station, Z88.3 in the Orlando, Florida area. We also listen to the messages on YouTube, and they have Keys for Kids app as well. Thank you for sharing God's Word in a relatable way to children around the world. Here's one from a homeschooling family. We started homeschooling 2 years ago, and Keys for Kids became a part of our morning routine. We love listening to it as we start our day. Thank you. So if you're a homeschool family and looking for new ideas to start your day, try Keys for Kids or Unlocked. This is from not a kid, maybe a kid at heart. I'm a 63-year-old granny and have listened to Keys for Kids radio for several years now, ever since my local radio station stopped airing their Saturday morning children's programming. I enjoy the mix of contemporary Christian music, programs, sermonettes, and the lack of commercials. I used to be a contributor and will be again. I already get your emails. Here's one. I'm donating today because my sons, 11, 7, 2, and 1, and I listen every morning on the way to school. And this podcast has been a blessing to me and my family. It's been a great way to start conversations about Christ. Thank you for all you do to make sure families are spiritually equipped. This one says, thank you, Camp Brookwoods and Deer Run, for sending this to our son after he was a camper there. It was part of our Keys for Camps Ministries program that we are a part of. They say, he wasn't able to go to camp last summer, so our subscription ended, but we wanted him to continue receiving it. We're thankful for the resource. God bless you. This one's from someone who gave a gift. This is a really cool gift. This is a donation on behalf of PSC, a small international school in Pokhara, Nepal. Isn't that cool? The students are keen to contribute to the provision of storyteller devices in Nepal, which is their home country, and embarked on this fundraising event. They were able to raise nearly $250 for that program. That's a several days' income for an average person in Nepal, and we're so grateful for their support. So these are just some of the comments from Keys for Kids Ministry supporters. And by the way, if you would like to get a copy of our Keys for Kids devotional for kids or Unlocked devotional for teens, just go to devo.keysforkids.org. That's devo.keysforkids.org. And when you do subscribe, please, please make a donation. It really helps us a lot. Next, Keys for Kids Ministries is serious about sharing the gospel with kids, teens, and families. Every devotional has the plan of salvation in the very back of the book. In fact, if there's ever a story that references the gospel or coming to faith in Christ, we refer the reader to that page. However, we've never really produced any additional resources to help people to take the gospel to kids, teens, and families. Then we met Rochelle Visser. She is the co-director at Camp Mishawana in West Michigan. Rochelle and I have been talking about how she trains her camp counselors how to share the gospel. Then in doing so, she's also training the campers to do the same. Well, that got us to thinking, how can we encourage more Christians to do this? And that's when she told me of an idea to put it all in one place. Well, I caught up with Rochelle at the Michigan sectional of the Christian Camp and Conference Association just a few weeks ago.
All right, I'm talking with Rochelle Visser with Camp Mishawana, and we partner with Rochelle with a lot of different things, but you use our Keys for Camps program.
Love it. We're one of our longest Keys for Camps running camps.
Tell us why it's so good for you.
Why reinvent the wheel? We sit here at camp and go, how do we reach the kids year-round? It's already done. Not only that, we can put our pictures and our letters. It is literally a no-brainer. Couldn't be happier. I wish that every single camp did it.
We appreciate that. But we're doing something really cool together.
Yes.
You and I have both shared the passion of wanting to share the gospel. I could not believe how many, I don't want to even say where, but I've talked to camp people, asking yeah. them, what is the gospel? And they couldn't tell me. And then I asked, well, do the counselors know the yeah. gospel? They say, well, we really rely on our speakers to share the gospel. And that broke my heart. So we got to talking, and you've already addressed this at your camp, right?
Yeah, yeah. We learned the hard way 15 years ago when we realized our counselors do not come equipped to share the gospel, both in a cabin setting or in a one-on-one setting. So we need to equip them. So what we thought was going to work of a one-hour training of how to lead a kid to Christ, that doesn't cut it. If we're going to do all the work and we're going to pay hundreds of dollars to bring a kid to camp, we're not going to drop them at the finish line. The counselors need to be trained and ready to share the gospel. So what we've developed over 15 years at Camp Mishawana is now being used at other camps. So they're saying, well, this is helpful. We need this. Let's not reinvent the wheel.
And so you have created this. We've got these cool new cards that
so fun.
You helped us create. So we've got, it makes it look like Zach on both sides. We got one for kids that helps them share the gospel. There's going to be wristbands that go with it. Talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, show us. You got one.
Here we go. I got one on.
Okay.
So the gospel colors system is using the five colors to share the good news about Jesus. Lots of people have done this. The thing that's been lacking is the resource that goes with it that you can give to the kid instead of just a bracelet. Now they've got the scripture. They've got the instructions. And then the thing I think is actually the most valuable is the how to share the gospel for the leader. So it gives the basics, and then every color has a transition. I don't know if you've ever shared the gospel with someone, but if you're like, let me give you my long presentation, nobody's interested. They feel like you're giving a spiel. But when you ask a question, you wait for a response. So this has between every color, ask them this. It helps to gauge, it helps to re-engage, and really figure out what is this person trusting in. And then if you get stuck on the back, every part, if you're stuck here, do this. If you're stuck here, do this. This little card used to be a 7-page training document that we said we needed in our pocket.
Yes, and so we're partnering together. Obviously, you're making them available at your camp, but we're making it available at a new website that we're yep. getting ready to launch called gospelcolors.org. And we want camps. What else do we want? Not just camps.
Churches, schools, missions trips, nonprofits, even kids in their backyard.
Yes.
Like your grandma can go to gospelcolors.org. Your pastor can go there. Your Bible club teacher can go there. Anyone who's doing ministry, look around at the people you're doing it with and say, do you know how to share the gospel? Do you know how to lead someone to Christ? If they have a method, be grateful. If
yeah.
they don't, go to gospelcolors.org and start sharing the gospel.
So you'll be able to buy wristbands there.
Yep.
You can either buy cards or download cards. So you can yep. actually print them yourself, so there's no cost. You can download that. But there's also going to be training. Talk
yep.
about that.
Yeah, so we have training videos, some made, some are in prep and being made, where if you can't have someone like me or a camp leader come to your church or your camp and train, guess what you can do? Push play, and then take the quiz at the end. Have your camp staff take the quiz, and you can watch it again and again and again. Boom, you're training right there. We do it for lifeguarding. We do it for every other aspect of camp. Why are we missing the gospel?
Okay, so you've been sharing this here at the
yep.
Michigan 3CA. You've shared it at other locations too?
Yes, I went with Angel Tree. We shared to dozens of camps that are Angel Tree across the country. I'm training other camps around this state and other states. Pretty much anybody who says, we need this, we've been missing this, let's do it, we'll figure it out.
All right, so what's the prayer? I mean, obviously, you've got this, we've got it, we're presenting it, we're sharing it with people. What's the prayer?
I think the prayer is accessibility, number one, which is what we're getting towards.
Yep.
And then multiplication, that the people would do it. And there's so many good tools out there. And there's good gospel sharing tools, but it seems like there's so many hoops to jump through. So one website, gospelcolors.org, you can get your download, you can get your bracelets or instructions to make your own bracelets, and you're on your way.
And if you wanted to like buy a truckload of them and
yep.
make them available at your church or at
sure.
your sell them at your store or whatever, yep. you can buy as many as you want and we'll make them available to you and you can use them as needed.
Yep. No, I think if you are someone who already knows how to share the gospel and you're saying I already do this, come join us. You can help us with training, you can help us with distribution, you can help us with whatever. Like, we're in this together, we're on the same team.
Rochelle Visser with Camp Mishawana, the brainchild behind gospelcolors.org. This website is designed to be an alliance of like-minded camps, schools, churches, and people who just want to share the gospel with kids, teens, and families. You'll be able to go to gospelcolors.org soon. It's not ready yet, but it will be available before our next podcast. Hey, do you have kids in your life? Are you looking for something that can keep them focused on Christ when they're sitting around doing homework or doing chores in the house or sitting in the car, try Keys for Kids Radio. It's a full-time Christian radio station just for them. Music and programs to help them focus on Jesus. How can you listen? On your smart device, say, "Hey Alexa, play Keys for Kids Radio." Or you can download the free app of Keys for Kids or go to keysforkids.net. Keys for Kids Radio, faith and fun for everyone. Next, as you heard in our first segment, Storytellers, which are solar-powered MP3 players with the Bible and Keys for Kids stories on them in the specific language in which they're heading, are an essential part of our ministry. God is using them to reach unreached parts of the world with stories that point the reader, and in this case, listener, to Scripture, helping them apply Scripture to their everyday lives. A few weeks ago, we uncovered a need in the country of Albania. How much do you know about that nation? Well, as you'll hear in our next interview, you'll discover it's a nation that needs Jesus. Unfortunately, the quality of the interview isn't our best, and I apologize for that, but I hope you'll be able to understand it. I talked to a man who's heading to the country next month. We're calling him Brother Paul for security reasons. Talk to me about Albania. What is Albania like?
Albania is a beautiful country, but it's a very unreached people. It's less than 1% Christian, born again. It's dominated more by tradition Muslims, and is a lot of need for sharing the gospel.
So when you talk about your faith, how did you come to faith in Christ in Albania?
I came through my older brother. It's kind of a long story. He was beaten by the Muslims, and I wanted to get revenge. But somehow when I was trying to do that, God stopped me, and that was the day that my brother shared clearly the gospel, and that was the day when Jesus came to my heart and changed me, and he put me a love for Muslims, because they, the way they act is because they don't know the truth.
Well, I know that there is a desire for you to take the gospel back into your homeland. I know your brother is still there. He's sharing the gospel there. Is that correct?
Yes. So he's leading the ministry there.
Wonderful. Can you tell us about the ministry, or is that something that we need to be careful of?
Well, he's leading the church there, and the goal is that in that town, he wanted to share the gospel and reach more Muslims, more Albanians for Jesus.
Would you say that the Albanians, especially the traditional Muslims, are they looking for truth? Are they hungry for the gospel in your mind? Because we hear stories about like places like Iran, where there are so many people coming to faith in Christ because they've become disenfranchised with Islam, or even Afghanistan, where we've planted several churches here in the last year. Is it similar in Albania?
Yes, people are open to the gospel, but the first thing, when you share the gospel with a Muslim, you need to build good friendship with them. First, they want to see the difference, because the Muslim believe that the Bible is corrupt, that Christian people believe in three gods. So you have to know how to explain, but in the same time, winning them by love so that they can see Christ. When they can see Jesus in us, that the one that they know or the one that they heard is not the real one. So they want to testify that what you're preaching, you're living with that as well.
For sure. Well, we met, 2 months ago or a month ago?
Probably 2 months.
Through a dear friend, and you came into our office, and of course, we were talking about a trip that you were going to be taking into Turkey, which intrigued me a little bit, but then you mentioned that you were from Albania, and you probably discovered that we have Keys for Kids Storytellers in Albanian. In fact, it was probably one of the first storytellers that we produced in a different language. How do you anticipate the storytellers? Let me just explain the storytellers to our friends that are listening and reading. But storytellers are solar-powered MP3 players. They have a Bible on them in audio, and then Keys for Kids stories that are recorded into the whatever language it is. This happens to be Albanian. So, brother, just tell me, how do you anticipate being able to use these?
Well, I mean, those are like great gifts. When you try to reach the kids, you reach the hearts of the parents. If you love their kids, you love them. So, and by giving this Bible story, and also lots of good story that kids will be very interested, I think this toy that we've taken, this will be very fruitful. And kids will like it. And also the parents will have a chance to listen the Bible and also to listen the stories that is there, which is very clear gospel presentations.
I'm talking with Brother Paul on the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. More with him in just a minute or less. Parent Minute is a syndicated radio program on hundreds of Christian radio stations around the United States. It's a program to help encourage biblical parenting. It's an imperfect parent, me, talking to other imperfect parents, you, about raising our kids in an imperfect world, but from a biblical perspective. If you'd like to listen to it or sign up for daily Parent Minute tips, just go to parentminute.org. That's parentminute.org.
Now, we have found that as we've delivered some of these storytellers into places like Pakistan and Afghanistan, that there are actually more adults that listen to these because they, for the first time, understand biblical truth because it's being taught through the eyes of children. Do you anticipate maybe something similar happening in Albania?
Yes, and that is our hope, that also the parents can listen to them, because they'll think, oh, what is this? This is very interesting. And when they're going to hear that, they will hear that this is very education for the kids, and the stories that are there as always the meaning. And in the same time, these stories will bring them to the truth, to Jesus.
Now, when we were chatting, you said that you were heading back to your home country at some point, and you would like to take some back, and we weren't sure what kind of numbers that you wanted, but you came up with a number. Tell us about that number.
So the way we're going to distribute, it's we're going to give to the leaders, but also we're going to go to the village, to the neighborhood, and we wanted to connect with people, especially the people that we know or my friends know, so that we can give them. It's another way of trying to share the gospel, trying to reach them with the gospel. So since the first day that I saw these machines, I said this will be excellent to share the gospel in Albania. And my goal, our vision is that not just in Albania, but we can bring this in the future in Kosovo, who are Albanian, in Macedonia, who half of their country or more than half is Albanians. Another place I wanted to put these machines, it's also in Bosnia, which is a very unreached country, a Muslim country. And Lord willing, we want to get those also in Turkey.
Well, you have been doing a lot of dreaming since we chatted last about these storytellers.
Yes.
So my understanding is you wanted to start off with about 500 of them. Is that correct?
Yes.
So we are in the process of raising money. We have a lot of it raised already. There's a generous donor who has committed to giving some significant dollars, but we would like to try to match that if possible, so that instead of getting 500 storytellers, we could get 1,000 storytellers. But I don't
Amen.
Know, that's up to the Lord. But what could you do? I mean, obviously, we're talking about Albania, but you mentioned other countries. So we don't have the storytellers. I'm assuming you're going to take them in the Albanian languages, in the Albanian language to these other countries?
Yes, because in Kosovo, they speak Albanian. In Macedonia, half they speak Slavic and half speak Albanian. So it's another area. Also in Montenegro as well, half of the country speak Albanian. So it's a lot of area we need to be reached. The Albanian people is very unreached people right now. So, and that's why we wanted to reach Albanians for Jesus so they have hope. And the hope is only in Christ.
I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but we also have our storytellers in Macedonian.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah.
Probably is in Macedonian language.
So we're excited to maybe be able to use those there as well. What is the prayer need that you have? Obviously, heading back to Albania at some point.
Pray for the trip that we're going to have in Albania so that this trip can be very fruitful. So the Lord will bless them, and more Albanian people will hear the truth. The Christ is our Lord and Savior.
That's Brother Paul, an Albanian brother in Christ, who will be taking the gospel back to his people with the help of our Keys for Kids storytellers. Brother Paul has requested 500 storytellers. Each storyteller will reach about 150 people. Give your best gift at keysforkids.org/storyteller. $20 buys each storyteller, and it will be matched dollar for dollar up to $5,000. So go to keysforkids.org/storyteller, keysforkids.org/storyteller. Well, today we talk with Brother Nehemiah about the work that continues in Pakistan and Afghanistan, despite the war in Iran. I'm asking you to pray that doors will reopen in these areas. Iran is another country in which we've had plans to work. Pray that the violence would end so that the planning can begin. You also heard about GospelColors.org, an alliance of like-minded ministries interested in training people to share the gospel effectively. It's not quite ready yet, but it will be in the next couple of weeks. We also heard testimonies of God using this ministry to help kids, teens, and families around the world grow in Christ. By the way, you can share your story at keysforkids.org. That's keysforkids.org. We also heard from Brother Paul, who will be heading to Albania next month to share Christ with his countrymen. Well, thank you for listening to the Keys for Kids Connect podcast, a monthly podcast designed to update donors and friends of Keys for Kids Ministries about the work that's going on behind the scenes. If you have a heart and passion for reaching kids, teens, and families worldwide with the liberating power of the gospel, please like and share this podcast with friends and families. And by the way, if you have a cool Keys for Kids story or testimony and would like to be featured on the podcast, just email me at greg@keysforkids.org. That's Greg, G-R-E-G, at keysforkids.org. Until next time, thanks for listening to the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. Keep pointing kids, teens, and families to Jesus. I'm Greg Yoder.